introduction again. It was read this morning. If you wanted to hear it, you should have been here. It is, however, in the program, and we are truly blessed to have with us our brother, Dr. David Corbin.
This is a difficult act to follow. Now, you put it together, the quality of the preaching we had, the singing, and then you're wanting to sleep. And I must now come. What a remarkable time we've had around the word today. The only thing I will add to the message that was delivered today, and I say this after teaching world religion for a number of years, one of the noticeable differences between Christianity and any other religion is grace. Yes. And today that was spelled out so clearly, why we are different. And then you say, but Brother David, that is so, then why it is more people do not believe the message? And I tell you why, and this is very sad, because we don't live the message. We do not behave like recipients of grace. And therefore, people keep looking to the text to understand the message, because they're not getting it from our lives. And I tell you the truth, at the end of today, the Lord is going to hold me and every single one of us to be more accountable for what we have heard. Amen. It is not enough to say we had a good convention. Yeah. I saw Sister so-and-so, and I saw Brother so-and-so, and the reunion was so, and the messages were so rich. I'm going to get a copy of, I want a record of it. No, the record should be in your life and my life. And our family members should see the difference when we get home. And the arguing and the cussing should stop. Sorry, did I say cussing? Yes. Yes, it happens even among God's people. And if our behavior is different, I think people would begin to ask, by the way, what has made the difference in your life? And what a privilege it would be to introduce them to the grace of God that we have in Christ Jesus. That the Liberator has set us free. What a powerful opportunity to this. And we have the life of Jabez to confirm this, as we talked about earlier today, and we continue with him. We learned earlier today that Jabez was saddled with the misfortune of pain. I didn't imply it. The text says it. That's his name. He was a victim for life, sentenced to be a pain in the neck. What a life. Jabez had a slight edge above his peers. He was honored. Jabez was determined to do something about his situation. My brothers and my sisters in Christ, and the challenge is to all of us. Are you sick of just complaining? Well, I went to this service today and I don't get anything. You know, I don't... And you're just full of negativity. When will it end? When will it end? You jump in the car and all you can discuss is the color of the clothing and whose hat was not big enough. And that brother should wear a tie, you know, and that other one, the tie didn't match. Oh my gosh. What's wrong with us? Don't you want something better than that? Well, you're in Jabez's case. Let's look at the passage again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. I'm going from verse 9 and verse 10. There's two verses. Let's look at it in the New King James Version as it appears on the screen. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. Wow! Jabez cried out to the God of Israel. He cried for four things. This morning we looked at one. Oh, that you would bless me. And here are three others coming up. The second is, oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Earlier we learned where Jabez prayed for God's blessing. God, give me something I could not do for myself. Favors that only God can impart. Now we're going to look at the second item of prayer. Give me more territory. Oh, that you would enlarge my territory. Here's a prayer for physical expansion of coast or borders. It's a prayer at a time after the Israelites entered the promised land. We see in the book of Joshua where land is being captured there, and it goes into the book of Judges. And somewhere in between, Mr. Jabez comes in. And he's praying that give me more territory. But it's an appeal for responsibility, for more responsibility. He's saying, in other words, allow me to have greater influence. He's saying, allow me to have additional opportunities. Have you ever prayed that way? Lord, give me more. I want more to do. Give me more. He's saying, increase my, in our own world, in our own situation, some of us might be saying, increase my investment portfolios. But when we think that way, we very often think only in economic terms. But why? Have you ever prayed, Lord, I pray that I could get some overtime because I want to invest some more money in your kingdom? I think of a missionary that is planning this, and I don't have it, Lord, but I want to be able to give. Give me some more work now so I can earn some more, so I can give some. Do we ever pray that way? That's the kind of thing Jabez is saying. Give me some more opportunities. Make more resources available to me. So, but that's a selfish prayer. But it's not a selfish motive. It is not that he would become more powerful so he can say to others, "Now I'm in charge. Now I change my car. Now you see where I live." No. So that he could affect others. See, that's the beauty about power in the hands of a Christian. Whereas power is used to manipulate the powerless, in the hands of the Christian, power is used to empower the powerless. And so he's asking for more. Give me more opportunities. In other words, I was born for more than this. Have you ever prayed that way? Lord, look at my situation. I can't. But I feel I was born for more than this. Give me more, Lord. Help me to rise to the occasion. Dear Lord, please expand my boundary lines. My wife and I consider ourselves to be retired from active ministry. Note the words, active ministry. Because there comes a responsibility with active ministry. Whether it be 6 o'clock in the morning, you get this done. 6 o'clock the following day, you get that done. Schedules, committee meetings, board meetings. We are tired. And then there's a whole matter of pastoral responsibility and the preaching of the word. We're not saying we are done with preaching. That's not it. But the responsibility. I think of Paul on one occasion when he talked about the pressures that come to him. Then he talked about the responsibility of the saints. There is a responsibility. And so we have believed the Lord has brought us to the point in our journey when we make allowance for younger ones and we help younger ones. It's, retirement does not mean a finish, a done. No, you change your position. You're no longer on the track, but you're in the stands. Like in the book of Hebrews, and I'm cheering on others, encouraging others. So it's a change of role. It's not an absence of activity, but a change of activity. So we consider ourselves to be there. But a few weeks ago, a few days ago, as a matter of fact, we were reviewing this whole matter of Jabez. And here's this couple sitting, and we are looking, and we are praying. Lord, expand our boundaries. By the following day, a phone call came. Let me tell you something. God answers prayer, you know. So you better be careful what you pray about, right? By the following day, a phone call came. It was an overseas call. It was calling from someone who we knew. And she said, I'm hurting. And I'm stranded. And I do not know anybody in this place. And I'm about to be evicted. And the person is bringing that to our attention. And we are miles away. We are overseas. The person is overseas in a strange territory. And so our creative juices began to work. By the way, this is after we prayed the prayer of Jabez. Expand our territory. God said, let me put you to the test. And this situation was brought to our attention. And our priorities changed. And we are happy to report that the person is now out of harm's way, taken care of by the people of God, and safe. Now, I didn't have to physically get up and run. But God used the experience and the influence and the networking that I had acquired over the years, as my wife and I literally took it on, and we were able to make a difference in the situation. And so when we ask God to make things open, widen my boundaries, you're not saying, Lord, please allow me to go and conduct an evangelistic crusade. I did that in the earlier days. I'm not saying, Lord, please send me to a summer camp so I can climb those hills. I can't do it anymore. But I will send you off. I will take my grandchildren. I'll say goodbye to them. I'll encourage the counselors. A different role. And God has places for all of us. There's absolutely no one present to say that I'm over. I'm done with. You say, but Brother Dave, you don't know how often I go to the clinic. Really? Do you realize in the clinic, you have the opportunity to influence people I don't have opportunity to influence? And so what do you mean by that? What about being a little more cooperative? What about displaying a little more courage while there? What about being more upbeat? What about allowing a song on your lips while you're there? Helping the situation so that the doctor and the nurses and others along around can say, how come you're so different? And all they have done is to set you up to answer the question. And the question has nothing to do with the time of year you're born. Please don't make that mistake. Well, you see, we people who born in August and we people from Jamaica, stop it! It is the grace of God upon you that makes that difference. And you can now share about that grace of God. They're begging for the answers. That's your opportunity. And God opens doors and provides opportunities. The challenging one comes for those of us who drive, especially on the roads in New York. And the man cuts you off. And in a very gracious way, you say, Lord, provide an opportunity that I could cut him off too. But you forgot that on the back of your car, you have a sticker that says, Jesus saves and makes a difference. So that's not the way out. And then the Bible itself talks about revenge is not mine. God will take care of him. And by the way, when you see the police pull him over later on, don't say good for him. Because we must not rejoice when others fall. The point I am making is the faith that we have is not something that's limited to the four walls of a church building. It concerns life. Amen. And what Jabez is crying out for, he says, give me opportunities. And God is saying, I'm willing to. Are you ready? Would you pray that prayer? But I don't leave my townhouse, I stay inside. Have you ever received a call in error? Somebody calls your house, wrong number. What do you say? A sick phone, and you hang up the phone. No, no, no. There's a lady in New York. I just want you to be careful in continuing the conversation, but it was a wrong number. And in speaking with her, I simply said, well, to be honest with you, if you did not make a mistake, then we wouldn't need the word in the dictionary. It's a mistake. And we do make mistakes. I'm sorry. And just like that, she said, how come you're so different? And a conversation started. And after a few days, there was some correspondence. And I said, I want to be very careful. I made sure right up front I told her I was married. And the next thing, she sent me a picture of herself and her child. And I was able to send her a picture of myself and my wife. So she knew up front this was no young man trying any kind of thing. But in the process, there was an opportunity. I didn't go out and look for her. I didn't try anything. She just called the wrong number. And you never can tell what that opportunity might be, how it might come. But Jabez prays, oh Lord, expand the opportunities, open the territory. And so here we are. Lord, expand my influence. Lord, provide additional opportunities to care. Lord, increase my career options. Increase my intellectual capacity. I'm going to read more. I'm going to learn more. I help me, Lord. Help me. Because I can use this knowledge honorably. Jabez was sick of the stigma of pain. Jabez wanted more than mundane living. So he cried out to the Lord. Enlarge my territory. Make a difference in my life, Lord. Earlier he prayed, oh, that you would bless me. And now he's praying, oh, that you would expand my territory. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, I am so committed to something that we call expository preaching, where we allow the text to guide the sermon, rather than the sermon looking for support from the text. And you grab points from here, there, and everywhere. What I am talking about today is exactly what I see in the text. Amen. A man in crisis, with a status placed on him. That's who you are. Now, take it. And he says, I can move one inch above the rest. And he knows and he hears about the God of Israel. And he cries out to him, oh God, that you would bless me. Oh God, that you would increase my territory. And thirdly, oh God, give me power. Those are the words, the actual words, that your hand be with me. That's a biblical term for God's power and God's presence. Jabez was asking for strength for the mission. In other words, if God is going to give me additional opportunities, then Jabez is saying, could you give me additional enablement? And he does. He answers those prayers also. I can just think of stories and stories and stories in our lives. And one that we have in this document to which I referred earlier concerns a day in Trinidad when my wife and I got home. We were really, really tired. We closed the gate and we looked at each other and we said, boy, thank God. And this was like the end of the day for us. Just before we opened our door, we heard a voice. It was my mother's voice. My parents lived upstairs. And she said, "Guys, someone has been here waiting for a while for you to see you." It was someone we knew. And we went up, saw her, brought her downstairs. And the two tired people were able to minister to this woman for a few hours. She sat after the pleasantries and opened her handbag and pulled out a notebook. She said, "I don't know how else to handle this, but this is what I found, and to ensure anonymity, this is what I found in my daughter's diary." And she copied it and began to read it out. Stories of depression. "God never answered me today. I don't know what to do." And it was had she gone to a professional counselor, they would have called in that young woman because they would fear that she would be taking her life. It was really suicidal. And then she looks at us and she says, "But I don't want you to approach her, you know, because she'd want to know where you get the information from. And so my credibility is at stake. And what do you do?" The point about it is, two tired people were given enough strength to sit with her, to counsel her, and then pick her up and take her to a yard. And now getting back home after 12 o'clock, renewed and strengthened. That's what Jabez was crying for. "Give me the power to do what you have brought to my attention. The opportunities you have provided. Oh God, deliver me from being killed under weight of this pressure." The term that is used here, "that your hand be with me," is also used in Joshua 4:24. Let me read it for you. He did this. This is God's power after crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan. And this is how it's described. "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And so that you might always fear the Lord your God," as seen in Joshua 4:24. Or you go to 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 12. And here's in the prayer of King David. And this is what he says in verse 12. "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." So there's no doubt about it. The hand of God meant the strength of God, the power of God, the enabling of God. And Jabez said, "Give me power, because you've given me more responsibility. Give me the strength to do it." He was asking for supernatural strength for the mission. Observe the progression. "Give me your blessing. Give me more territory. Give me your power. Strength to handle the temptation of success in ministry." What? There is a temptation of success in ministry. "Give me the power to overcome that. Strength to resist the anti-success culture in ministry." What? What's that? That's when you see someone with giftedness in the church and you pull him back because he may take your position. Or someone who shows prospect and you say, "Not this Sunday school class, you know, not over my dead body." I'm talking about in the church. It happens. And so there's an anti-success culture in ministry. We need to ask for God's strength and wisdom to deal with that. We cut down the young people. We want them to come, but they must come at our terms. Do it the way we did it, or the way we do it. Because this is the only right way. And we frustrate them. And when they leave, we say, "You see, their hearts were never here with us." Oh, God, deliver us. Jabez's prayer was, "Give me strength to withstand." It's not only in the church culture, it's outside, because what Jabez is asking for is for the supernatural. And so you're going to a culture on the outside that is anti-supernatural. They see that as mystical nonsense. And he's saying, give me strength for that kind of situation. One of the things that interests me as I look at the scriptures and look at life, as I see the New Testament, did you realize the New Testament church that we call beautiful and successful and marvelous and what a model? That New Testament church did not have a Bible. What? No. They did not have the Bible, as we know the Bible. They did not. By the way, that New Testament church did not have air-conditioned buildings, as we do. By the way, that New Testament church didn't have the instruments and the modern technologies for us to do streaming and musical presentations. But yet that New Testament church grew faster than any church today. So you say, well, how come? What made the difference? And Acts 11:21 puts it this way. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. It was nothing but the power of God. And so what Jabez is saying is, oh God of power, please empower me. Empower me so that your power can become evident in me and through me. So that people can witness and have no doubt that what's happening is not Jabez's business, but God's business through Jabez. And so that's the prayer for you and for me. Lord, I want to be sure that you can work in my life to such a degree that I would not ever think that I could have acquired the skills to do this. It's too marvelous. It's too creative, but I'm available. But I am praying, Lord, that when people see this, they will not say, wow, he's a graduate of such and such a school, but rather, wow, look who he trusts. Amen. Look who is able. Look who can accomplish this. Work it in such a way that I could take no credit. And all the credit goes to you. But I'm available so that you can do that in my life and through my life. I could take the rest of the afternoon to talk about the power of God through ministry. But that's not the direction in which we want to go, because something tells me you're going to walk away saying, boy, he's thinking greater than anybody else. And then we come right back where we are, why we need strength and wisdom, because of how God's people think and how God's people work. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would replace him. When the Holy Spirit came, that's just what he did. The disciples felt empowered when Jesus was with them. And when Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came, they were equally empowered because the Holy Spirit was no less than Jesus. By the way, that same Holy Spirit is available to us today and will be with us until Jesus returns. And so here are we with all the resources and more than what the New Testament church had. They did not have a New Testament. They did not have the Hebrew Bible as we know it today, because it had not yet been, quote unquote, canonized or put in a form where you can say, this is it. We now have the Old Testament. We now have the New Testament. We have the Holy Spirit. We have more resources than they had, but we produce less. And the question is, why? And it's because they depended on the hand of God. And we don't. We depend on our skills and all kinds of things. And so here Jabez realized, with additional responsibility, he needed more power. With additional opportunities, he needed more wisdom. With additional opposition, he needed a stronger resolve. So he prayed, give me your blessing. So he prayed, give me more territory. So he prayed, give me more power. And the last thing he prayed, give me protection. What? Protection? What do you mean? Look at the words. Or that you would keep me from evil. He was conscious of the fact, and we more so, that Satan's mission is to steal and to kill and to destroy. And those are not my words. They're the words of Jesus in John chapter 10 and verse 10. That's his mission. So when Satan sets out to kill and to steal and to destroy, don't be surprised. That's consistent with his nature. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan is a deceiver. He blinds the minds of unbelievers. He puts a smoke screen that they would not understand the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan has the ability to do that. The Bible further teaches that he's a liar. Jesus called him the father of lies. Satan is a powerful adversary and an accuser of Christians. Now, in light of that, do we need power? Do we need protection? You better believe we do need that protection. Against this force, Jabez prays, give me your protection. Jesus in the Lord's Prayer himself said, deliver us from the evil one. Lord, keep me safe from the pain and grief that sin brings. Keep me from the dangers that I can't see. Protect me from dream killers. That was how he was praying. In response to our prayer for protection, I'm so glad for God's word that teaches, like in 1 John 4:4, the one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. That's good news, my brothers and sisters. That's protection. And here's another one coming up in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 10, verse 3 to the verse 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's the protection that's available to the child of God. Jabez prayed, and God answered his prayers. That's what the verse says. Give me your blessing. Give me more opportunities. Give me your power to do what you have given, the responsibilities you have given to me, and give me protection. Every day, for more than 40 years, Bruce Wilkinson memorized and practiced the prayer of Jabez. He illustrates the impact of the prayer on his life in a little book entitled The Prayer of Jabez. I came across that book some 20 years ago, and I've given away hundreds of books as you are sizing down now in terms of ministry. One book, one of the books that I have kept behind is a little book called The Prayer of Jabez. And the Spirit of God brought that back to me as I was preparing for this weekend. And there's a story in the book that I must tell you in closing. This is it. This is the story of Bruce Wilkinson. I was driving through Atlanta to the airport on my way to an important speaking engagement in North Carolina. Without warning, traffic slowed, then stopped. A major accident had blocked all lanes. When it became clear that I was going to miss my flight, I prayed, Lord, please make my flight late so I can catch it. When I finally arrived at the concourse for departure, I noticed scores of people milling around. Sure enough, the flight had been delayed. Humbled and thankful, I found myself wondering if God had something else in mind as well. I began to pray that the Lord would arrange an appointment for ministry. Within moments, a well-dressed businesswoman approached, pulling her leather roller bag. When she joined the rest of us to wait for the flight, I noticed she seemed flustered. I nodded, "Hello," then asked, "What can I do for you?" "What?" she said, not quite believing her airs. I repeated my offer. "You can't do anything for me," she said, kindly and firmly. "Well, I believe there is something I can do for you, but I don't know what it is. But you do. My name is Bruce, by the way." And then I smiled at her and calmly asked again, "So what can I do for you?" Friend, have you ever seen the Holy Spirit break through emotional and spiritual barriers right before your eyes? It's an experience you won't forget. The woman caught her breath, leaned against the wall, and started to talk. "Well, I'm flying home to divorce my husband," she said. "That's why I'm waiting to catch this flight." Tears welled up in her eyes. I suggested we move to a quieter corner in the departure area, and I asked the Lord to place his protection around us and between us. Her name was Sophie. Her perfectly tailored dress and Italian leather accessories hid a broken person on the run from disappointment and despair. Her husband had been unfaithful to her and hurt her in other ways. Even though he wanted to make things right, she had had enough. When she got home, she would be pulling divorce papers out of her briefcase. The gate attendant interrupted us. "Asheville, right? You're going to miss your flight." We were the last two to board. Now, Sophie was agitated because our conversation would have to end, and she wasn't finished. This was what Bruce said to her. "The Lord will put us together," I said, not quite believing the confidence I heard in my voice. "What do you mean?" Sophie asked. "Well, he didn't have to do much difficulty making the earth. He can get us two seats together. But when we compared tickets, we were five rows apart. As we arrived at my seat, the man sitting in the middle seat next to Sophie heard us talking and turned around. "I hate middle seats," he said. "I'll switch so you can sit together." Sophie sank into the seat beside me, momentarily speechless. During the flight, we talked about her options. I laid out some biblical principles and promises for her. I prayed with her, and by the time we landed in Asheville, she had broken through to forgiveness. She was still hurting, but she was at peace, determined to give her marriage the commitment it deserved. All because one servant prayed, "Lord, bless me. Expand my territory. Give me power. Give me protection." He asked and expected God's blessing. He pleaded for more opportunities. God gave him power and wisdom. God protected him from impropriety and possible evil outcomes. God can do all of that. You doubt me? Well, practice praying the prayer of Jabez with me. Let's begin to make it a daily habit. I will not be there to monitor your movements. You wouldn't be there to monitor mine. But I'm telling you, you will begin to see an excitement in your lifestyle. You would pinch yourself and say, wait, is that me? As you become sensitive to the needs of others. Joyful that you're experiencing the power of God in your life. An excitement and a thrill will come. Now what's next? As opposed to, well, I suppose I've come to the end of the road. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Why hasn't he taken yours yet? Because he has a mission for you. He has a mission for me. That's why we have Jabez in the Bible, so that he could teach us what it means to cry out to God and say, Lord, you know my situation. You know my situation. You know my shortcomings. You know how others think of me. You know I'm restricted. Lord, you know it. Talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him. And then ask him, bless me, Lord. Bless me. Give me more opportunities, Lord. Bless me. Give me more opportunities. Give me the power and the enablement for these new opportunities. Please, Lord, please. And in the process, protect me. Protect me, Lord. Protect me. Let's pray. Lord, I believe you brought us into New York with a message. I don't know who you're talking to today, but I believe you're speaking to some people online and in this room. We have been recipients of your grace, but not that we would conclude, look how fortunate we are, but that we take advantage of the opportunities that come. Because of the goodness of the God who gave to us and showed to us grace. And an appropriate response is to behave like Jabez. Bless me, Lord. Expand my territory, Lord. Expand it, Lord. Give me power, Lord. And protect me from the evil one. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will take all of our tender hearts right now and the situations that we are thinking through and going through in our own minds. Give to us wisdom beyond our own ability as to how to approach the things we are thinking about, whether they concern an uncle or an aunt, a cousin or a nephew, a child or a grandchild, or even a spouse. But Lord, just deliver me from the bondage of pain, the bondage of sameness. Free me, Lord, free me. Father, we come with confidence asking this because we know you do not only have the ability to hear us, but to do something about our prayer. That's why we come with confidence and lay ourselves before you and say, work in me and through me to accomplish your purpose. It is in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.